good night.
Hello, cocktail lovers. Welcome to Paris Cocktail Talk, the show brought to you by the 52 Martinis Guide to Paris Cocktail Bars. I'm Forrest Collins, and I'm here to talk to you about the trends and traditions of drinking in France. Today, we're flipping that around a little bit. We're not talking about things that are happening in France. We're talking about things that are happening outside of France, but with a French bartender. I have got somebody who I've known from Paris for a long time, Juliette Leroy, in the studio today. And she's a French bartender who is now working abroad. She's got a culinary background. She's up to some really interesting projects in the US at the moment. So we're going to take a little deeper dive on those kind of things with her. So welcome, Juliette. It's nice to be talking to you.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
So first of all, why don't you tell the listeners just a little bit about your background and what brought you into bartending?
So I was a cook before in Paris, and I've been in a vacation trip in Montreal with my friend that was a bartender in Montreal. And she bring me in cocktail bars, and we went to New York together and went to cocktail bars. It was like 10 years ago. And when I came home, I was like, maybe I want to learn about cocktail bars. And I put on Google, best cocktail bar in Paris at this time. It was Harris Bar, Candelaria, and Syndica. Mm-hmm. And Syndica was in my street. I was living literally like. So I went there and I met Sullivan that did the same hospitality school as me. And he took me as a barback / waiter. It's not, yeah. And like, this is how it starts.
That's a pretty impressive start, really. I mean, that is one of the best bars in town. It's got this really great grounding in French products. So you really, you did well to start there. So that's great.
Yeah, I was lucky.
Yeah, we've had Sullivan on the show in the past as well. So we are big fans of his and the Sandy Cat. So very cool. So you worked there, and then I know you worked someplace else following that in Paris. But I don't know if you worked in multiple places. What were some of the other bars that you worked in here?
No, I work only in Sandy Cat in Paris.
Sandy Cat? Ah, okay.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I moved straight in Barcelona after. So I work only in two bars, really.
Okay, great. So that's the last time I saw you. Actually, it's been quite a while. It's the last time I saw you in person was in Barcelona on a Two Schmucks tour. And do you want to tell us a little bit about what motivated you to move there and start working in Barcelona?
So really it was because I was already the manager of Syndica since a while with Giovanni, and I didn't saw like what I could do more there, and there was no really like bar that I wanted to work in Paris at this time, and I wanted to travel, so it was a mix of a lot of things. I wanted to live somewhere else than France because I'm French and I wanted to visit another country. And at the moment I was asking a lot of questions and where I could go, etc. Mo Aljasso is a former owner of Tushmuk, like write me on Instagram, like on Messenger at this time, it was on Facebook still. And he was like, yeah, do you want like a job? We are like reopening Tushmuk. It was like a period where they close to rebuild the inside. And they needed someone, and he asked me directly, like, and I was like, this is great. Like, it's a bar I was like looking at since a long time, and I wanted to live in Barcelona since a long time as well. So it was like really like, again, like a really big chance. And I moved, like, I didn't came for like the reopening straight, but I moved like 6 months after.
So what was it, any kind of a weird adjustment moving from working in bars in France to working in bars in another country, in this case in Spain? Did you see any big differences?
For work wise, not really, but the big difference was like I was in Syndica since 4 years at this time, and I was working basically with a team that was here since 4 years as well, and was like really, really close all together. And it was like kind of like they're still my best friend now, like since then, like this whole team of Syndica we had at this time. So Giovanni, Julie, Johanna, Ike, and Thibaut, it was like one of the best team I work with, and this was difficult to adjust because I was not working with my best friend anymore. But like work-wise, it was not that different. Like the only other difference was like in Syndicat, I was more free because I was managing. There was no Sullivan left already, and we was together with Joe choosing what we was doing. But maybe a little bit too young for this sometime. And in Tushmak, like Mo and AJ was still leading like strongly the place. So I came like a little bit with less. Like I start over a little bit more, but like it's normal when you restart in a place. I was not like bar back obviously, but I was not managing the whole place by myself anymore. So this was an adjusting as well.
And I do think that's normal. I think that, you put yourself out there and you're moving someplace different. So it's natural to have some sort of kind of not challenges, but you're not just going to kind of keep moving up. You got to do the
No, for
time.
sure.
So I think that's totally normal. And for listeners, I'll put some links to the conversation I had with Sullivan, and also we've had Giovanni in the show. Listeners might remember.
Oh,
So
nice.
after you listen to this, go back and listen to those guys too, because that'll ground you a little bit more in what we're talking about. So before we start talking about your next step that you took, can you just tell listeners who might not be familiar, just give them really broad strokes of what kind of a bar Two Schmucks is? And I know there's more than one actually. There was more than one. So just give them an idea, because I want to talk about your new project and I want to talk about the evolution of it. So tell them
Oh, nice.
what it was like.
So yeah, there was three bar in fact that I was managing, but it was mostly Tushmak. Tushmak, it was called as a 5-star dive bar. So a dive bar that serve a 5-star cocktail. And with the service of like the best service we could, at least in Barcelona. So it was a loud bar, like the energy inside was really like big, let's say. It was not quiet. It was like big group of friends and big music, etc. But the cocktail was like elevated, and we was trying like we have like rotovap and was like using big technique, etc. There was also two other bars, Lucky Schmuck and Fat Schmuck. Fat Schmuck was more like a terrace place, so more aperitif, like there was food, and Lucky Schmuck was a real dive bar. A dive bar that you can put in Barcelona, so it was like a punk skate boy dive bar more.
Yeah.
It's still open, basically, but it's not us anymore.
I think that 5-star dive bar is such a great descriptor for Lucky Schmucks. So I think that it really does for listeners who had never been, unfortunately. That description is great. The cocktails were really fabulous. The service was there, but it was just also fun, and it's kind of place that, but you'll stay late. You might get a bit messy, but it's just what you expect from a dive bar, but with really good drinks. So yeah, now I want to talk about, you've actually left Barcelona. Schmucks, Two Schmucks is closed, and now you're in New York, and you are doing kind of, while you're waiting for brick and mortar building, you and Mo are doing Two Schmuck pop-ups. And I actually don't know if you're still doing them or if they finished in March, but so why don't you tell the listeners just a little bit about the pop-ups and what you're doing with that?
So I know it's confusing, so I'm gonna clarify it a little bit more. Tushmak is still open, in fact. It's just like not us anymore. So we are calling ourselves Schmuck without the two. To like but like it's still confusing, I understand. So it's cool, like this I can like re-explain it, because like so many people are like, oh, Tushmaks, and we're like, no, we are not Tushmaks because Tushmak is still open. But we have like nothing to do with it anymore beside like the wall have been like built by Mo. But now like all the team and like the choice they are doing are not like relevant of what we want to do. But like, so we have only Schmuck with a dot at the end, just to and we was doing like we had the pop-up yesterday, and we was doing some residency. All the residency are done now because we looking for opening in September. So we're gonna focus about the opening now. We're gonna be there in terms of the cocktail as well, but like it's the last pop-up before we opening the actual place. So yeah, we did like a bunch of pop-up, and the most important was to do, we did like a residency in a Kipton Hotel in New York, and it was the first time we was doing our own stuff in our own space, let's say, in New York, and it went really, really well. So we are like really happy because we saw people was like interested and loved what we did. So it was super cool experience to do this in New York before opening your own bar. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, I think that's really exciting. I saw that you guys were doing those at the Kempton, and I think it's nice to be able to give people a taste of what they'll be getting and kind of build some excitement for the bar, right? So, and also it just not keeps you busy. I'm sure you've got plenty to do, but it's nice to be able to keep working and not have that sort of dead time in between. So I think
No, for
that's
sure.
very cool. And this, I mean, we're actually recording this in June, but this will be airing in August. So it's August now when people are listening to me, and which is exciting because that means you should be opening in September, right? That's really cool.
I hope I will have like the same talk in August. But like now, Juliet from the past is like we're opening in September.
Excellent. Perfect. So yeah, so if you're listening to this, and you're in New York, keep your eyes open for this and go visit them. So
Thank you.
I want to talk a little bit about the cocktails that you will be serving. So you've been developing a menu, you've been serving the menu already at these pop-up events, and it's kind of a culinary inspired menu, if I understand correctly. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's really much from the fact that I'm French and I don't have the culture of cocktail initially. So when and we become a really quick manager in a syndicat, so we have to make all menus and stuff. So we was like what I know was like kitchen, and so I always got inspired by a kitchen to do my cocktail instead of inspired by classic and go from a root of classic and make a new cocktail. I go from a root of culinary technique and go for the cocktail. So it's like kind of another way. It's like really common in Asia and Europe to do it like this, especially in France, I guess. I speak like I'm thinking about Copper Bay cocktails, or like even now, like I can sing Candelaria, this kind of cocktail and stuff. But in America, it's way more rare. Some of the really amazing cocktail bars do this kind of a way of creation. Like I'm thinking about Double Chicken Please, for example. But in Double Chicken Please, Gian and all the team are also not American. So it's funny to see that it's non-American, like working a little bit upside down to create cocktail. So all my cocktails are really inspired by culinary stuff, and especially French one, because it's what I know the most, and I make me feel like the most emotion because it's what I grew up with, and I know by heart like exactly what season you eat this, what this mean to us, etc. So I don't use a lot. I use some ingredient from other countries that I discovered during travel, or like food tasting and stuff like this, but not as much as Nico De Soto will, for example, that travels around the world and like bring more spice and like new flavor from other parts of the world. I'm doing like a lot of French and Mediterranean inspiration cocktail, culinary cocktail.
I think that's really interesting. And also listeners will remember that I just had Nico on the show a few months ago as well. So I'll put a link to that in the show
Perfect.
notes. We're just
Yeah,
talking to all the
amazing
same
cocktail.
people, and he really does bring in a lot of, flavors from everywhere. But I like to see this to me is very interesting to see somebody that's here that has culinary grounding in France. Also, you're from Nice originally, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly.
So you've got that kind of Mediterranean influence as well. So I love to see that kind of coming through, that aspect of France coming through via French bartenders abroad. So I think that's really cool. And yeah, it's just very interesting. Now I've lost my train of thought. But
Sorry.
so can you just give us an example of maybe what kind of flavor you might focus on, like a flavor that's in one of your cocktails, that to give the listeners an idea when you're thinking about, here's a French flavor, culinary flavor I want to push through to a drink.
I can tell you in the past, because honestly, like to be totally honest now, like past Juliet, so from June, don't have yet like all the menu.
Okay.
So, but in the past, like one of my signature cocktail, let's say it's even if it's a little bit too much to say, knowing that it's not being like enough time. But like we was melon cheese pepper. It was a cantaloupe cordial. Like really juicy with gin and vermouth. So vermouth and melon is really it's really Mediterranean already Mediterranean combo. And on top it was a burrata foam. So same burrata melon, cantaloupe melon. All these combo are like extremely like for me like it's funny because a lot of people was like, oh, do you think about this combo, it's really new, and I was like, it's not new at all in my opinion. It's funny. It's like it's something that I eat all my childhood. Oh, I really like to use tomato, olives. I all these ingredients are like stuff I really love to use in cocktails. So I'm always doing like a tomato drink in all my menus since I have the opportunity to create the menus and stuff. And one of the my favorite one we did was pan con tomate, and it was pan con tomate, so like the Catalan dish that is just bread with garlic and tomato on like on top, like I don't know, to rub on top of the bread. And we did like a cocktail that was tasting like toasted bread and tomato. It was like really like really fresh. So it was like a tomato water. So this one was really cool and really Mediterranean as well, and like people loved it. We was like serving it in the residency in Miami, so it's not the most Mediterranean person you can imagine, and they loved it. Oh, I use a lot of bread in my cocktail, like and actually like a lot of cheese, to be honest, like and milk and like not really vegan friendly for the moment. I have to work on it. It's like even when I was doing a overstory event like 1 week ago, like Harrison, the bar manager, did a joke and told me that they turn vegan now and we have to do only vegan cocktail. And I panicked for a second. I was like, oh my God, what am I gonna do? So yeah, this is like maybe like the most like easy to understand Mediterranean flavor I will use. Like yeah.
You couldn't really replace the cheese with like vegan cheese, you know, nut cheeses and things in those kind of
Oh no,
drinks. Yeah, not the
it's
same
not yeah.
texture. And I just a point on the melon drink with the burrata foam. That's an excellent drink, and I think there's this crack of pepper on top of it too, isn't there? Because I
Yeah, exactly.
that's really what makes it for me. It really kind of takes that over the edge. So it's
Thank
yeah,
you.
it's I can attest to the fact that it's nice to see those Mediterranean flavors and that they work in cocktails. So I think it'll be really exciting to see exactly what's going to be, will be coming out on the menu in September, and how else you'll kind of keep working different flavors and different culinary aspects into the drinks.
Yeah.
On the other side of the bar, have you noticed any differences from, I guess, from consumers in France in the bars versus abroad, or specifically where you are in the US? Do they have a different kind of take on the cocktails, or you know, how they how they're liking them or not?
A lot of difference for sure, but so when you go to, I'm doing as well shift in a bar, like a neighborhood bar that is really nice. But like I can see exactly the neighborhood bar way of consuming cocktail, which is really, really different than in France. And like I can compare it to like what was Syndicat at the beginning especially. But hopefully we are like now known, like people that come into a bar want to try like our cocktail. They are not here. Like for the moment, it have been like this all the time when I was serving my own cocktail. It was because people was coming just to try cocktail. So it's pretty like similar, like a French person that wants to try something in a restaurant, like American and French like will be the same when they are in this optic of like, oh, I'm coming to try Moe's and Juliet's cocktail, so I'm gonna read the menu well and see like what is this and like try it for real, taste it. But like when they are in a going to a bar like a normal day with friends and stuff, the way of drinking is really, really different. Like the portion of alcohol are way bigger. Like there's way more like hard liquor in American cocktail, and they drink faster and like way more faster. And it's like they don't spend time. It's good for business because they at each time they finish a cocktail that they drink way more faster than a French person. They're gonna order one or pay and leave. So it's kind of like this all like we was talking about this yesterday when I was in Long Island to do a pop-up, and like there was a Greek girl and we was like talking about that they don't spend time on the table just to talk, etc. And this is really different, and obviously like the tastes are different, like so more boozy and also a lot more tequila than in France. And it's been 5 years I'm not working in France, but like it's like the difference. I guess like now there's a little bit more tequila, but in America it's huge. Like everybody drinks margaritas. But for example, it's like the best seller are margaritas and martinis. And I don't think in France you have a lot of I don't remember in Saint-Dizier a French person ordering a dry martini in my whole 4 years of Saint-Dizier. And this is like because it's so boozy and French people don't drink that strong of a cocktail, in my opinion. Yeah, back in 5 years, 5 years ago at least. Maybe they changed, but I'm not sure. French people
I
love
don't think
sour.
they've changed that much. Yeah. I mean, I do
Yeah.
think that things are evolving definitely here, but I think you're right. I think that you'll find margaritas or tequila, but when you find them, it's a bar that they're making a big deal about it. It's Candelaria or it's the
Yeah.
Mezcaleria. It's not
Yeah. Yeah.
something that you're finding everywhere. So
Yeah, for sure. Okay, still the same.
and I do think that there's this different I don't know, this different way of just getting together and spending time together over a drink in France, as opposed to this real goal-oriented drinking that you see more often in the US, where you're getting another one, you're filling
Yeah.
it up as soon as it's empty. I kind of recognize that too is a reflection of difference in the culture. So we're getting close to the end of the half hour, and before we move on to the cocktail recipe, I just want to ask really quickly, so what will the new Schmucks vibe be like? So I'm glad that you clarified this on Two Schmucks. I actually didn't realize it was still open in Barcelona. I've been many times since I went and I didn't realize, but are you still going for that 5-star dive bar, or is it something that's going to be different?
No, it's gonna be so. Tushmak was really like representative of Mo. Like it was really boy, skater, a little bit like punkish. They was like they opened with Mo and AJ, and they like kind of like build their own thing about them with like tag on the wall, graffiti on the wall, and stuff like this. There's two things, like firstly, Mo is not anymore like the 26 years old person that opened Tushmak. And also, I am in Tushmak. I was managing Mo's bar, and like now we're opening a bar together. So it's gonna be really different. We are like doing like way more research, like a lot of designer furniture. Like the cocktail gonna be even more elevated. And as a little surprise, there is in fact 2 rooms. So to keep a little bit this vibe of party, we're gonna have like what we call now our tiny bar because it's smaller than the other one. It's gonna be still a party bar, but like with a really funny design you're gonna discover in September. And this is gonna be like still like a little bit divey and like festive. And the big bar gonna be more mature, let's say, and more like serious, but like really beautiful as well. We are like working really hard on it to get like everything we want, and we are like facing a lot of difficulty because in America you can't have exactly the same stuff as in Europe for all the costume made and all the designer piece we want, etc. So we are like kind of shipping everything from Europe now. So it's gonna be like maybe like one of the most unique bar because we are just like bringing everything we want from Europe in boats like right now, like when I talk.
Wow.
So yeah, it's all like it's a lot of stress, but it's also really exciting because we know we are like exactly everything we want. It's gonna be super different as a tout schmuck, but we're gonna have a lot of we still gonna have like this second bar that's gonna be more party and more like schmucky like from Barcelona.
Very cool. I'm excited for that. And
I'm
maybe
excited
I
as
haven't
well.
been to New York for a while, so maybe I'll get out there soon and I'll get a chance
Oh,
to see it
nice.
firsthand.
Yeah, I
Okay.
hope.
I've got to start to wrap it up. Otherwise, the producers at the radio station will get mad if I run over time. So why don't you share
Okay.
with us the cocktail of the month?
Yeah, so it's a culinary inspired French, obviously, cocktail. It's not really summery, I'm sorry for this, but like it's one of the easy ones to do at home, and it's inspired by the tarte tatin, which is like the upside down apple pie, is a French one. So it's a foamy cocktail, and it's based on cognac, apple juice, but like it's a fresh apple juice. You can cook yourself to make like this cooked apple juice taste, and amontillado sherry, where you're gonna add some sugar and a little bit of cinnamon inside. To make it like a syrup almost. And then you put all your non-vegan ingredients. So it's going to be a little bit of crème fraîche, a little bit of no, cream, normal crème liquide, like liquid cream. I don't know exactly. Every
Yeah.
country call it different. And a little bit of egg, just a tiny bit, and some salt. Put everything in a blender with an ice cube and you blend it together. And with this ice cube, it's gonna, with the cream and the egg, it's gonna form like a foamy texture, and it's gonna be like a little cloud tasting like a tarte tatin. So it's a really cool cocktail I really like to do, and we was doing it in our residency this winter.
Very cool. Well,
Yeah, I
I
can
think it's
I.
nice. This will come out in August, so even though it's not summery, people can kind of gear up to it because that sounds like something that would be nice for September, October, like you're getting ready
Oh
with
yeah,
apples
it's
for the fall,
totally
for the autumn.
fully.
So that's great.
Yeah, for sure.
Good. Well, listen, maybe when we get off, you can send over the exact specs on that for me
Yeah, I
so I
will.
can write down the recipe in the show
Perfect.
notes for the listeners. And with that, we are at our half hour. So I'm going to say thank you so much, Juliet, for coming in and talking
Thank you
to me
so
today.
much.
And
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
I will also say thank you to you listeners for tuning in or downloading. Thank you to World Radio Paris for editing and production. Thank you to Sun Little for the music we use. I'll put links to all those people in the show notes. And if you like what we're doing, go and leave us a review on iTunes or subscribe over there or wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, I remind you to please drink responsibly. And until next time, cheers.
Shiver.